Can we settle in that we can start our meeting? We were just waiting for you. So we understand. Good morning, Edson. AGCE, but Edson Group Chief Executive, because we know all these words, great names. But welcome to you and your team. And good morning, members. We are going to start off by introducing ourselves. I'm Ellen Prince, I'm the chairperson of this committee, and I'm going to give over to the members to introduce themselves, and I'm representing the Western Central.
My name is Hansa Khai, a member of this committee called the Communication and Public Enterprises. I'm representing the Eastern Cape.
Very gracious Chair, good morning. My name is Sulisi Lesofako, member of the committee, and I'm from Northwest. Thank you.
Good morning. I'm Kathy Labuswati, and I'm presenting the Western Cape.
Good morning. I am Smith, representing Lampala.
Good morning. Mosawakos Mulambo, representing Gauteng.
Can we move over to the department? Acting chief executive, can you either each of them can introduce themselves or you can introduce your team to us?
Chairperson of committee, members of the committee, my name is Vusin Konyane. I'm a member of the board of directors at Transnet. Today I speak on behalf of the board and the chairperson, Ms. Malaso. Please accept the sincere apologies. She has gone to China, to receive the first of our brand new diesel locomotives. This is part of unprecedented 1064 locomotive acquisition and build program. I'm with my colleagues here on board of Transnet. They are Peter Williams and Brett Stegman. We are here with Mr. Siyabonga Gama, our acting GCE. As a customer of Transnet, he's brought along a solid executive team in line with our obligations to the nation as far as accountability is concerned. Mr. Gama will be presenting and updating the committee on our performance for the financial year, March 2015. Chairperson, we are grateful for this opportunity to be heard by the people of South Africa, whom you honorably chair represent. I will now hand over to our acting group chief executive, Mr. Gama. Those of us who really know him well, call him Sia or Mlangeni. As we all, Mr. Mlangeni is our country's premier expert in all logistics and transport. He's a modest and humble man, but I will go further and say that he's a recognized global expert. Please allow him. Mr. Gama, may I suggest you introduce your team first?
Thank you, Chair, through you, Chair. As the interim chair of Trump has indicated, there's a lot of acting that is taking place at Trump at the moment. let us start with the group chief.
Good morning, Chair. My name is Nombuyiselo Tshukudu. I am the general manager in group reporting, group finance. Here today, I'm also representing Mr. Gary Peter, our group chief financial officer, who is also in China.
Good morning, Chair and the committee. My name is Molatwani Dikhenya. I am based in the office of the acting group chief executive.
Good morning, Chair and committee. My name is Ayanda Kera. I'm the group committee secretary for Transnet.
Good morning, Chair and committee. My name is Dean Woodley. I'm the general manager under the performance monitoring reporting sector in Group Resource Management Office. I'm representing our group executives of is actually ill, right here in the pool.
Thank you very much. The board members have already been introduced, Mr. Brett Stackman and Mr. Peter Williams. We are at your message. We also have we are from the Department of Public Enterprises with us today.
Can you introduce yourself?
Good morning, everyone. My name is Eric Bogati. I'm the Colonial Advisor for the Committee.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Kalani Smelani, Research of the Committee.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Loli Shozi, the Committee Secretary. Thank you.
Good morning. I'm Daly Soda, the Executive Secretary to the Chairperson.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Amanda, the Committee Secretary. Thank you.
I think we can start our meeting. Special words of welcoming to the board members. It's good to see so many of you present. I know Mr. Williams, we work here as a legislator, and the secretary. And Mr. Stefan, welcome. And then it's in the personal support. We look forward to your presentation. Can we tell first going to apologies? We received one apology from the chairman of the board. And also an apology from the minister of the department. Are there any other apologies? If not, can we proceed? Thank you. And I'm going to give over immediately to the department for the presentation, to the template for your financial report statement. Can you please proceed? I think all of us do have hard copies. All of us?
Good morning, Chair. Just give us an indication because I've got various hard copies on which one we started. Thank you.
Okay. I think we are going to start with this one. Am I right or not?
It looks
like okay.
It will say the bottom on 15th of March 2016.
Yeah. But it's saying the 15th.
Right at the bottom, and very small.
Oh, small one.
Yes.
Very small. If you put in 20% and 16 small letters, then you are, We just want to take it all of us out of the right. Thank you. Only honorable member, can you come and introduce yourself?
Honorable Chairperson. Thank you very much for the opportunity to present to the National Council of Provinces the annual results for the year ended 31st March of 2015. It does sound rather late because we are now in March of 2016 and we are about to finalize those results. We did not get an earlier opportunity to come and present. The results were ready as per statutes to be presented from August of 2015. We are going to present them a very summary and the financial results and then a number of aspects and then we'll conclude. If you go to to the second slide, the revenue of Transnet increased by 8% to 61.2 billion rand at the end of March 2015. EBITDA increased by 8.2% to 25.6 billion. The gearing remained at 40%, and our cash interest cover was at 3.6 times. The DIFR, which is the disabling injury frequency rate, is at 0.69, which is a world class number because it's below 1, and has been stable for the past 4 years. Capital investment increased by 5.7% to 33.6 billion rand. Bring the actual spends during the MDS period to 92.8 billion rand. Cash generated from operations after working capital changes increased by 21.1%. Overall growth in rail volumes was at 7.7% to 226 million tons, which is a new record, and includes export coal volume growth of 11.9% and iron ore and manganese volume growth of 10.7%. Triple D event was at 105% of the TMTS as per the DTI codes. If you look at the performance in context, which is the next slide, volume growth versus the prior year was at 3.1%, revenue grew 8% above the prior year, and our gearing actually went down by 5.9%. What's important about the numbers is that when you get gearing, we want to remain at below 60%, and at the moment we are at 40%, which indicates that we're able to borrow much more money. We have a very good headroom in terms of our borrowing. But also, if you look at volume growth, we grew 3 times the GDP growth, which was at 1.3% as at the end of March 2015. If you go to the next slide and you look at the 5-year review, it will indicate that we've had significant increases in volumes. Mm-hmm. And we've also had significant increases in operational efficiency and assets, without any significant deterioration in our financial ratios. In particular, I think you see that over a 5-year period, we've grown our general freight business by 22%. This is a significant number, because while the GDP growth for the country was at an average of 4.8%, we grew 22%. What that indicates is that our road to rail strategy is working, especially the fact that we've been able to take a lot of containers on the very busy route between Durban and Gauteng, and put that onto our railways. The export coal grew 22%, export iron ore grew by 29%. Total rail grew by 24% and containers grew by 13%, while the petroleum came down by 4.7%. In terms of revenue, we grew during that period by 61%, EBITDA 52%, capital investment 56%, and total assets by 93%. We almost doubled the size of the company during the 5-year period, which shows the very intense capital investment program that Transnet has been following during that particular period. To go to the next slide, we now zero in on the financial year to the 31st of March 2015. The volumes grew from 56 billion in 2014 to 61 billion in 2015. We've already indicated the volume growth in the various sectors in terms of rail, but also our port containers grew by 1.2% during that particular period. This slide also shows the distribution of revenue in terms of the operating division. The freight rail is just over 50%, and Transnet Engineering at 17%, the Transnet National Port Authority 13%, and the balance between the Transnet port terminals, which was at 13%, and TPL at 5%. slide indicates the growth in our operating expenses, which was at 8%, from 32 billion to 35 billion. We've also shown the different contributions from personnel costs, energy costs, material, as well as unoperating costs. EBITDA for the year rose 8.2% from 23.6 billion to 25.58 billion, which I think is commendable given the slowdown in the economy that had begun to be felt during that time. The freight rail contribution in terms of EBITDA was 57%, transport engineering 3%, 22% from the Port Authority, 10% from the port terminals, which is in competition with a lot of the private sector, as well as the transit pipeline was at 8%. If you go to the next slide, that just gives a breakdown of some of the expenses in terms of depreciation from impairment assets, as well as the net finance costs, which grew by 9.3%, and which is in line with the heavy capital investment program that we have. And in terms of impairments, it relates also to some money that is owed by the Passenger Rail Agency of South Africa to Transnet, of some 271 million, as well as a number of other smaller impairments, as well as capital work in progress. If you go to the next slide, we begin to show you the balance sheet of Transnet, as indicated. The assets grew by some 80 billion rand to 287 billion rand during the particular year as a result of the heavy capital investment program. If you go to the next slide, we just indicated property, plant and equipment increased by 8.5% to 287 billion, but also the revaluation of 49 billion. Of our rail infrastructure, as well as the capital investment for the year, 3.6 billion rand, with 14.5 billion being invested in expansion of infrastructure and equipment, while 19.1 billion was invested in what we call the maintenance capacity. In total, average assets return ROA was about 6%, which is in line with the heavy capital investment program, and that number will probably start to grow from around 2019. Our borrowing for the period rose from 90 billion to 110 billion rand, but we also during the period were able to repay borrowings of 18.4 billion rand. The 22% increase in borrowings was in line with our funding plan. And I think you would have seen after that period that we've continued to borrow much more money to assist us in terms of the capital investment program. Our gearing, as I indicated, remains at 40%. The cash flow statement shows a very positive cash flow. As I indicated, our cash from operations grew by 21%. On average, and we had total cash and cash equivalents at the end of the year at 6.2 billion rand. What is important about this slide really is the whole notion of our credit rating. At the end of the year, we were rated with a stable outlook by Moody's at two notches above junk status, which is investment grade, and thereby Standard & Poor's would be minus. And in fact, for a long time, we were rated on a standalone basis slightly above the government. In terms of the sources of funding, we've had a lot of funding from our development finance institutions, as well as foreign bond and commercial paper, and we were able to raise, as was indicated, 34.1 billion during the year. And we do have guarantees from export credit agencies as well, notably Bank of Tokyo, but in the past year we've also been able to increase that through the 5 billion dollar exposure that we have from the Development Bank of China, of which we have been able to take out 1.5 billion rand, I mean $1.5 billion, which is 30 billion rand in total, and we still do have access to further funding sources from that source. The important thing about the latest borrowing regime is that we are able to borrow for longer term, so that we are able to match our asset life with our borrowings. We've now gone to 15 years, and we're trying very hard to make sure that as we move forward, that our borrowings still are between 15 to 20 years, because the assets of Transnet typically, they will last 30 to 50 years. Whatever it is that we actually do, last much longer. So we need to make sure that we match our asset life together with our borrowing. But also importantly, we are taking tax, we are taking repayment holidays up to 5 years on some of the borrowings that we have had, especially from China, in line with the locomotive bills program. Because we want to start repaying on the locomotives themselves and are on the rail tracks. In terms of major capital delivery during the year, we took delivery of 25 of the diesel locomotives. We took delivery of 94 of the 20 electric locomotives and 14 of the heavy haul coal wagons. And we also took delivery of 2,700 wagons, making our total wagon bills during the MDS period is under 8,000. We also did screening and the railway sleepers during the period, and a number of tunnels and universals. Our sleepers, we were able to put in new sleepers, 684,000 sleepers onto our 30,000 kilometer railway network. During the period, we also took delivery of rubber tires and cranes for the Nuka container terminal near Port Elizabeth, four of them. This is becoming a very good story to tell at the Port of Nuka, where our performance continues to increase and is comparable to the best port in the world. We took delivery of 10 solid carriers, which mainly went into the Durban container terminal. At Nuka as well, we had two ship-to-shore cranes, and also at Cape Town, we had two ship-to-shore cranes, as well as trailers and rail-mounted gantries in our port terminals. Also, the pipeline as a backbeat was at 86% in terms of the inland terminal and 77% in terms of the coastal terminal. The new multi-purpose pipeline trunk line is 100% complete and is fully operational, albeit that at the moment it only carries diesel. If you go to the next slide, just in terms of the capital investment analysis, what we indicate is that over the MDS period, we've seen a steady growth in capital investment in Transnet, and we are very proud that we have been able to spend up to 96-97% every year of the capital investment that we've budgeted. And some of it has not been spent mainly because of the savings that we continue to make in order for us to make sure that we re-engineer our cost basis. The heavy investment has gone into our railway business, 74% of that, because this is a period of very heavy railway investment. In the future, we are going to turn back and invest again in the ports. In the past period, as you know, before 2010, there was heavy investment in our port system, and between 2010 and 2015, there's been a 25 billion rand investment in our 24-inch multi-product pipeline from Devon to Johannesburg to help us to keep the inland wet. So as we move on, you will also see that as we move on, our intent is that 57% of our head investment is invested in expansion, and 43% is going to be invested in replacement capital moving forward. If you go to the next slide, it just shows you some of the assets that have been delivered post the financial period after the 31st of March, and our estimate of what is going to happen in this current financial year. The next slide zeroes in on the volumes and operations. As indicated, the volumes on our coal line, they rose like a phoenix to 76.3 million tons. We're particularly very proud of the achievement because the previous record was about 69.9 million tons, which happened around 2007. And we are now at 76.3 million tons. The only thing that has held us back is the availability of demand for coal. As our customers would indicate, they complained for many years that we were not meeting demand, and they're starting to say now they are receiving trains and they're coming out of their ears. They cannot keep up with the amount of trains that Transnet is offering into the economy, which is a good story to tell. Given that we are looking at improved productivity and efficiencies. In terms of on-time departures, we were able to improve by 98% over the previous year. All the whole trains were departing on time. We do have a particular problem, I think, in terms of on-time arrivals, which are largely as a result of incidents that take place during trips. Most of them, they are driven by cable theft, and we do ask the assembly and the COP as well as the MPs on the House to do assist us in terms of legislation that deals with this, and we are very happy that you have responded, and we are set to see the kind of sentences that are taking place for people who still cable, sometimes 40 years, which we think is very good, because that is now labeled as sabotage of the economy, and I think there will be a lot of people who will think 6 times before they steal cable going forward. So we commend this House for the current and valiant efforts that you have had in terms of contributing to this. If you go to the next slide, iron ore also grew to 59.7 million tons from 54 million tons, which is a 10% improvement over the previous year. We also had very good improvements in terms of both on-time departures as well as on-time arrivals. You'll see that the on-time departure number is actually negative, which means that the trains were leaving before time. And that's how good we have become in the previous year. We were loading the trains and moving them four times. The arrivals, we still have a slight problem in terms of our tipler, which is very old, but we are now in the process of buying new tiplers, which is a third tipler at the Port of Solana, which will assist us in terms of reducing the breakdowns. We will be able to put that on stream from about 2017. The next slide talks to our GFB volumes. They grew by 3%, but hidden in that number is a very good story to tell in terms of improvements on our containers, especially close to the motherships and factors of what we call the containing automotive business unit in terms of increasing by double digits every year over the past 4 years despite the GDP growth. We still did have some ESCOM-related power outages at that time, so the story is now sounding a little bit old because I have been told by people at ESCOM that they have not had any load shedding for more than 150 days now, which I think is also very good for the country in terms of where we are headed and in terms of manufacturing. Next slide talks to maritime containers. They grew by 1% from the previous year to 4.6 million TEUs, which is unprecedented in our port system. And we continued to see improvements in terms of ship turnaround times. The less hours that you see, the better. We must indicate that in the main, a lot of our ports, especially the port of Devon, have in fact during a period been construction ports, as well as in Richards Bay, where the some construction that has been taking place, and therefore some of the ship turnaround times have increased rather than decreased. But in the future, that is going to reduce as part of our program to make sure that all our ports become world class. We've continued to make progress in terms of train turnaround times, and we have indicated efficiencies rose by 16% during the year. Our pipeline volumes, we increased that to 17.2 billion liters in terms of our petroleum products, largely due to improvement in crude volumes as well as aviation fuel, as well what we call PAF2. We are very happy with the new capacity that the new multi-product pipeline is giving us, and at this point in time we are about 58% of utilization, and the pipeline itself has got a capacity of some 24 to 26 billion liters depending on the technologies that we deploy on this pipeline. Our safety as indicated at the beginning was at 0.69. We have a world-class target of 0.75, as I indicated. One is the global norm, and anything below that is considered to be very good. Very sadly, we lost 4 employees during the previous year, and all of them were lost during they were driving motor vehicles what we call the rubber tired they were being ferried during working hours, and none of the aircraft fatalities took place within our operations, and so it means that one, our strategy in terms of operations is beginning to work. However, we need to do more in terms of what happens when employees are not inside our firm and are being ferried elsewhere. We are very unhappy about this 10th event because one fatality is one fatality too many. We want to move to a situation where we have 0 fatalities. In terms of the workforce, we have achieved and exceeded our targets in terms of black employees. 83% of the employees in Trinidad are black, versus a target of 80%. Females at the group ESCO level were 40%. We continue to make progress in terms of that. I think if you were to go into Transnet statistics in 1994, 98% of people in Transnet information. We are continuing to have that trust, and you have my assurance, Chair, and the committee that we will continue to bring in bright people and also female people who are with us in terms of diversity in the manner way in which we think, you know, men sometimes think in a linear way, and women assist us greatly in terms of looking at issues from different angles. And we're very happy that we're going to steadily increase women representation. We still do have challenges at the lower ranks, but we will continue. Part of what we have said and are doing, and I see the representative of HR has arrived, is that a lot of the employment that is taking place, 80% women and 20% men, as part of our drive to make sure that we meet our equity targets. In terms of training spend, we spend 2.8% of our personal costs on training. We must not think that because we're saying 2.8% versus 4.4%, that we didn't optimize. What has happened during the year is we got smarter in terms of spend. In the future, what we will be indicating will be more around the number of learners that we were able to churn out, because a lot of the cost issues are around traveling time and people spending accommodation in different centers. We've bought quite a lot of simulators where we are now training most of our employees at SOS in terms of where they actually are, so that they don't have to leave their families and they can actually be in the place where they are. So I think we are making good progress there. Unfortunately, we did not create the number of jobs, the direct jobs in Transnet that we wanted to create, 4,400, but that's also in line with the economy. When the economy does not grow, we cannot create jobs willy-nilly. We need to make sure that the jobs that are created are sustainable. So we could not bring in additional people, but we are very happy that the schools of excellence in Transnet are a great flagship for Transnet Academy's delivery platform, and continue to contribute both to national skills development, but also to the region. We have people that come here from as far as Namibia, Madagascar, Mauritius, that come and get trained in South Africa, as well as from the neighboring the former PLF countries of Swaziland, Lesotho, and Swaziland, that get trained here in South Africa. Energy efficiency in terms of our carbon footprint continue to improve. We're very happy because in terms of sustainability, it means we're on the right track. We still have to do far more than what we have done. But the trajectory that we are on is a positive one. And we have made quite a lot of carbon emission savings as a result of our drive to regenerate some of our own energy, but also make sure that as we move cargo from road to rail, there's carbon emission savings that take place because we have fewer and fewer trucks. And then we have been able, fortunately or unfortunately, to close down a few trucking companies as a result of our success on the road to strategy. In terms of triple E, as indicated, we're at 105%. We continue to do very well. That increased from 94% in the previous year. Our supply development program is robust, and we continue to make sure that we are exemplary in terms of creating new jobs in the economy, in terms of supplier development, in terms of local content. to ensure that we prevent the flight of the capital formation outside of the country, but we keep everything within our country. Members and members, in terms of the PFMA issues, the shareholder representative for the executive authority determined that the limit for quoting in terms of the act relating to Transnet around criminal conduct, fruitless and wasteful expenditure is 25 million per transaction. We do wish to indicate that we are making very good progress when looked at the fact that the total expenditure at Transnet was 50.8 billion rand, and that the amount of irregular expenditure was at about 32 million rand. There was, during the year, the discovery of one irregular loss through criminal conduct of more than 450 million rand, where one of our employees had undercharged in collusion with some suppliers to the tune of some 450 million rand, and that matter is now a subject of both disciplinary as well as criminal cases which are lodged with the SAPS. So we are very happy that our internal controls are robust and we continue to decrease the number of incidents, albeit that we've moved from 2 million to 32 million, albeit that we've had the issue of the one very big one. And as you know, when the economy is tight, we need to continue to increase and improve on our vigilance in order for us to be able to detect timely anything that is untoward. If you go to the reportable PFMA items, on slide 26, out of 19 initiatives that we were dealing with under the PFMA, you will see that 12 had already been completed at the end of the year, and we will continue, and we are ahead on track with a number of the other issues that have not been dealt with, and we are quite happy that the good progress and commitment continues to be seen by to be shown by management. To conclude, Chair, the third year of our MDF did prove to be challenging. We have been able, despite the odds, to maintain our financial and operating performance. Consequently, we would want to be held to believe that we will continue to deliver on our MDF commitments going forward. I shall pause here to await your questions. We've brought a number of competent colleagues who will answer most of the questions. I thank you.
Thank you very much. Acting Group Chief Executive, Mr. Gama. I think all of us are very quiet while you were speaking, which means you recaptured our attention to a very good report. We noticed that you will see the clean out, which is very good, and you are making progress. But for us, the good story that you're sharing with us is how many totals that we have in that you managed to do to assist the government with the mandate to improve the life of our people. With that, I'm going to give over to the members who ask questions. I know this Mr. Smith Lim, the any other in Honorable Singh, Honorable Robert Kaffney, Honorable Pastor Kaib.
Thank you, Chairperson. As I alluded to earlier, I am representing Limpopo, and more specifically, I'm from Mokgalakwena Local Municipality, which is quite a buzz at this stage with regards to the platinum, you know, belt or whatever that was discovered in that's identified as the most concentrated and cheapest, the cheapest to extract it because it's quite shallow. I want to know specifically what expansion operations in terms of your network is there going forward for Limpopo. And then, more specifically, is that including, for example, the net, these mines that's opening up so that we can have some relief on the roads? Because obviously, you know, that has got an extreme strain on the road network system, and that there will be a continuous movement of raw materials going to the meltery and, you know, forth and back, as well as is there any engagement with the Department of Agriculture and Rural Development around the agri parks that is developed throughout the country, of which in Limpopo there is one as well, to link that up, you know, in terms of agricultural products and making it easier to move that, because that will stimulate the rural economy and making sure that we start to basically invest in those areas so that there can be job creation and all that in those areas. I just want to have an idea of because you said you are doing intense infrastructure investment in rail, and this is specifically towards rail, and it's multi-tasking, basically agriculture, mining, the mining industry. If you talk about Madupi and the coal that needs to go there, as well as you know, looking even further towards passenger rail. What investment is there in that? Is there any plans to do that? And if not, are you considering to do that in the future? Thank you.
Before I give over to Honorable C, I just want to acknowledge the two ladies from Sunset Team and Mr. Singh, and I saw Khalid, but I'm not here now, but I doubted you. Over to you, Mr. Honorable
Singh. Thank you, Chair. I also would like to thank the Chief Executive for the presentation. I'm representing the province of KwaZulu-Natal, and I have one concern that has been brought to my notice, and I'm in fact bringing to this meeting now. That's in regards to trains that break down in rural areas or in areas where the you know, technicians have to get out of these trains. The complaint I have, and I'm raising it here, is that one, there isn't any security for them to get to this point, and two, they don't have assistance even to carry those toolboxes that they have to get to the train. And I'm just going to elaborate on that quickly and by saying that where the trains normally break down is not on the main road where reactors can get to. It is in some area where the bush is quite high and they've got to get to that point. Papa the Mendon walk to that point, right into the bush. Now, I know that in your presentation on page 21, you have informed us of the employees' fatalities. If we don't tie our belts in this area, we're going to have fatalities because one, the only thing that they carry, they tell me, is the cell phone. And they can't use it as a weapon to defend themselves. I think that needs to be taken up seriously because I know that Telkom, whenever I pass, even in a built-up area, I see Telkom having guards seated out there whilst the repairmen are working on the Telkom lines. So the other thing that I noticed and you did raise on page 22 that you have increased representation in regards to the female and that we want to applaud you for that. I think that's the way this the country is going, and I think that that's what we'd like all departments to go in that route. Looking at the numbers of your people that you've got to make this presentation, I don't know if you've balanced the number of representatives that you have come with. I'm not counting them, but I can see there's more male. But that's just an observation that we need to also look at it, because what we don't see is what you got there on the ground today. We see what you come with here. Thank you.
Thank you for mentioning another discussion.
Thank you very much, Chair. I've got quite a few questions to raise, and I'm going to try and go page by page if that is okay. Page 5. The revenue and dollars increase in coal and iron and ore and steel and all those things as indicated, which is wonderful, imply that it's raw material that's being exported. Okay? Now, we all know that the policy of the government at the moment and NDP is to try and to focus more on downstream and manufacturing of goods. How will this impact in the long run? What kind of impact will that have on Transnet, and is that part of your planning for future? Because at this moment it's wonderful and it's growth and it contributes to your revenue and income. But in 10 or 15 years when this new policy is going to take place, what do you see? Then page 6, there is a reference to the operating expenses and increases due to also the higher electricity tariffs. Now, I would like to know, is there a special tariff agreement between the state operating companies such as Transnet and Eskom on civil tariffs, and if that is so, what is the parasitinta? On page 10, okay, let's grab that one, because you're responsible for that later on. On page 12, you refer to the credit rating of Moody's, all those, which is so good. Do you foresee that the current upcoming credit rating of Moody's that in the country on the country as such can have an influence on your on Transnet as a company? And what do you see? What do you see? How you can prevent it from being downgraded, or doesn't it matter? Page 17, the breakdown for the tippers in Saldana, there was a lot of breakdowns past August 20 or after August 2040, and you also mentioned that you're going to buy new tippers. I just want to know the amount of money that's been, I don't have the number now, but quite a significant millions of rand is going to be invested there. Will that also be for replacement of old infrastructure? And what kind of infrastructure? You mentioned the tipper there, but can you just give us a little bit more info on that? Then, on page 19, the turnaround times for the ships and so on, you referred to say that in all the ports the turnaround time is well, quite well, except in East London and Richards Bay.
And could you give us a reason? And I know this is quite in the past tense. Did it improve in the meantime? What was the reasons? And are they on track now with other polls or not? Then on page 20, I just want to know, it's the oil part is so in, what is the occurrence of speech with Transnet? And because we all know that it has an impact on environment and health, and what is the plan, how do you monitor and make sure that the risk of spillage is zero? Page 2012, the wasteful and fruitless expenditure of 23 million rand due to the incentive of overpayment of rand share. I know that was a year ago. How has it been addressed? You explained on the 400 something million on the other one, the deal to the fraud and so on. I just want to know how the company is handling this and to make sure that's not really occurring. Then on page 26, you explained, and thank you very much for that, there was a big explanation on the improvements and things that you put into place based on the Auditor General's report. The green areas on that, all the things that's been in place has been ticked with the right with the thing. The green areas there, I would like to know, is there a time frame for the company, for Transnet, for implementing those things that are not being implemented? And then these only two general questions. The Minister of Transport proposed legislation on limiting goods vehicles with not more than 9,000 kilograms operating in in peak times, how will it influence your operations in the ports, and do you have a plan on how to accommodate that? And then the other general question is that your general market demand strategy that's now in the third year and is doing very well and is planned for over a period of 7 years, if you read and listen to the rest of what's going on in the macro economy of Africa, and if you listen and read and look, and I'm sure that you are more the experts in that than we are politicians, but that just makes us aware and worried of what is going on in Namibia and how they develop port there, and in this being part of Africa, we're going for the same markets. Do Transnet see that is a future risk or challenge of competition? And how are we going to, for lack of another word, beat that? Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi. Thank you very much, Honorable Travis, and thank you to the management and the board of Transnet. I think, first of all, let's comment Transnet also for the good that it has done. The reason I'm happy overall is that recently there's a general attack on the people enterprises. Some are caring for them to be privatized. But when you have this kind of good stories, then it gives you hope that it doesn't necessarily mean when something is privatized it's going to do good. In fact, there are lots of privatized companies that are French workers. A lot of private companies that are closing down. So it means therefore also private companies cannot do well in terms of depending on the economy. So therefore we need to commend state-owned enterprises such as Transnet. Yeah. But just I don't know what was the arrangement in terms of you coming to report to us. Because we are provinces. There's a slight difference how you report to the committee and NCOP committee. We are more interested to know what is happening in the provinces that we represent here as delegates from provinces. What I'm trying to say that we wish that in future the report should also focus on what is happening in provinces. For example, when you talk about spend, it would be nice to break that down to provinces. How much of that is the Eastern Cape, Getty, Limpopo, Northwest, you know, etc. That's a great example. Now we name all the nine provinces. That is my point. Yeah. But I'm also looking at that's a point that I wanted to emphasize. But I'm looking at the report, but I'm comparing with the document that you gave to us. There are three of these. When you say there's an increase, I'm looking at the nominal terms, if really there's an increase. For example, if you talk of revenue, it's increased by 8%, but in 2014 it increased by 12, I think 12, I wrote this down. I think about 12%, let me put it that way. Now, I know that just if would we say that the increase in the, I know that it was 56 billion, but now it's 51 billion. But then if you compare to what the percentage increase in 2014 compared with the percentage increase in 2015, that goes also for the capital investment. You did less in terms of percentage in 2015. Compared to 2014. So those are the comparisons. I didn't go through the whole, but I think those are some of the things that they pick up. But also generally, is that whilst there are these increases, which are commendable, we are unable to compare them to the targets versus actuals. You say 2014, there's an increase of 8%. We don't know what were the targets in the first place. You know, you achieved 8%, which is much more than the previous year's achievement. But we don't know what was the target. Wishing on all those these areas that you're reporting on, if you can tell us that what were the target. I'm not saying now, but I'm saying in future. What were the targets and also what are the actuals? Because you could be increasing, but you may not be doing well in terms of your targets. So I'm going back also to the issue of the breakdown. You know, the state-owned enterprises are not necessarily, you know, some people look at the state-owned enterprises as that they should be also doing the same way as a private sector. That their money is that of a developmental. I'm raising this point because one of the issues that have been raised, we have raised before with transit. We I think in 2014 or 2015, if I'm not mistaken, we went to the head office at this committee. Mr. Mirefe was the CEO then, before he was seconded to ESCOM. One of the issues that we raised was the revitalization of a small town. That's why I'm also interested on this capital investment, the breakdown, so that we know that also small towns benefit in terms of their revitalization. I would like if the things you can also touch on that. Just to have an interesting credit rating, why you not tell triple A? What is it that not true? That you are not true. On the issue of the road to rail, to me that should then translate in increase in jobs. But we're indicating that because of economic situation, we are able to create more jobs. But for me, if we are moving as a country from road to rail. That should also translate into more jobs. You've indicated that there are truck companies that are closing down because of this concept of route to rail. The last point I wanted to check on our service is when we visited Mr. Murphy, he took us on a tour of, where we're shown the locomotive that the Transnet was manufacturing. Last year, 2014, there was this controversy about Prasa having imported locomotives from, I think, Germany, if I'm not mistaken. And in my mind, I was asking why Transnet is not assisting Prasa with regard to the locomotive. Why do we have to import locomotives when we are able to manufacture them in the country? So that was the last question for me. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much, Honorable Member Khan. I also have two questions to ask. The first question is I want to ask is on your acting position, when can you see that this position is going to be full time? It's the one thing. Although we can see the acting position from the sector of the company, but still, we want those positions to be filled. It can be stability in any other way but in the organization. Yeah. Our question is on the downgrading is in the press. All other questions, but let me have a question. Carbon emission saving plan. Will you have a strategy to deal with this? This is the Carbon of Environmental Agreement in COP21. This question has been regarding the 27 phases, I think you explained to us what internal controls you put in place to avoid it. The questions being answered in several phases. Other question is how has the fallen prices in the coal and iron ore commodities affected your revenue and market demand trading? I think all other questions have been asked. I can note you answer it in your presentation, so there is no need for me to go through this. Let me just make sure that I'm going to give over to you to respond on the questions, and if I pick it up, I will ask it in the next round. Thank you very much. Over to the question. Is there any other member who would like to pose a question, or are you going to wait for the next round? Okay. Thank you. Over to you, the question.
Thank you very much, Chair. My esteemed colleagues must help me. There's been a number of questions. I think the members are correct that we probably need to focus on also giving a breakdown on some of the activities that we do in the different provinces. Every company, I think we should undertake that we will do so for the next presentation. Because I think certainly it's important that we do give
is a national company, and we do quite a number of different things in different provinces with varying different factors. So if we go maybe to the social programs, I think also we need to highlight, I think, some of the other good work that we do, for instance, through the Pelo Pepper Train. And I think we should report on that. Next year, because we're spending about 150 million rand on the Pelo Pepper Train, which is a health train. It's an outreach train. We go to rural provinces. And I think there is very good work that takes place. Last year, we reached more than 220,000 people in our country through the train, doing dentistry, cataracts, high blood pressure, and giving health care to communities that would otherwise not be in a position to do that. And assisting in the healthcare issues of the country, where people who are destitute might not be able to do that. Limpopo. There's a good story to tell about Limpopo, but it is in the future. It is in planning. South Pansberg area is very, very important. There's lots of minerals that have been discovered in Limpopo. Ranging from gold to platinum, coal. But Limpopo is a dry province, and you know, even though people talk about the water bank, there's no water in the water bank. The Department of Water Affairs is coming up with some new dams, which is assisting, I think, in terms of what we need to do. There's a lot of investments. Limpopo also is important in terms of the yield per acre when from an agriculture perspective, because it is on the same line as some of the countries in the Great Lake, Zin and Maputo and others, Mozambique and others, in terms of very high yields in terms of the fruits. So there's a lot of investments that we are running there. In fact, we do have trains, so although they are seasonal, that go to areas north of Polokwane during the harvesting season. And we are looking at what kind of other investments need to take place. We're also talking to the Ministry of Roads and Transport in Limpopo, where we have an MOU, in terms of working with the airport in Polokwane and the railways in terms of dealing with perishable goods. The either 456 kilometer line in terms of from Mpumalanga to Limpopo via Gauteng that we intend to build the whole line, which will deal in the main also with connections into Botswana and Mamabolo, where there is a lot of coal that can be found there. So there's a lot of things that are going to happen in Limpopo. They are in feasibility study stage at the moment. In as far as passengers in Limpopo, I don't want to say anything about passengers because PRASA is the eminent authority that must talk about this. We haven't had passengers at Transnet now since 2008, when PRASA was formed. So we have moved all metro rail and the mail and the train class, everything, to PRASA. So they are the eminent authority there to speak about it. Train breakdowns, we note the concern and the issue of security. I think we need to deal with it. We have had some incidents around this particular matter. So to the extent that it is not happening, we need to find out in the areas where it's not being and be able to deal with it. Certainly aware and heightened around that. The effort of raw materials, the country as a whole, I think, is largely an exporter of things from the soil, and beneficiation is the policy that we're talking about, and then at Transnet what we're looking at is how we can diversify going forward to be in areas such as the FLCG, which I think are quite important. We have hitherto not been in manufacturing FMCG and other sectors, and we are looking very hard at that. In fact, the board is putting a lot of pressure on us to diversify. So it's something that we are looking at. I must say, actually, there isn't any agreement between FOM and Transnet in terms of electricity tariffs. You know, when businesses are regulated, they have to do things in a particular manner in terms of what the regulator tells them. So we are not immune to electricity prices, but also ESCOM tends to charge us even more than what the regulator says they must charge them. They'll speak to them, give you 9%, they come to us and say, no, for you it's 21%. We don't understand how it actually works. We don't know whether our secondment of certain officers to the problem is going to help in the future. Yeah, but it's something that we need to continue. I think I would ask Nombu Isel to have a look at this. But certainly it would be good if we had the most favored nation status with ESCOM. But we don't have at the moment. I think they just look at who might have more money and the charge. When we do the credit rating reviews, highly sensitive of who our mother and father is, which is in the country, you know. Sometimes you can't run away from genetical issues. So if they downgrade the foreign Transnet will be downgraded. We are a FOC, we are 100% owned by the sovereign, so whatever happens in the country happens to us. The rating agencies do indicate to us that they can rate us on a standalone basis in order for us to be able to go to the bank and say, you know, we can repay you, so there's no crisis. Yeah. But I think there's probably too much overemphasis at the moment on credit ratings. What we ought to look at is how do we inject economic growth into the country? What actions must we take in order for us to grow at more than 3, 4, 5%? What must we do in rural areas and townships in order for us to have economic growth? And the credit rating question will go away if we deal with economic growth in terms of what we need to do. I think at the moment, and that thing is being used so that people who are scared of snakes will think the snake is alive. So we need to just deal with it. Is it a what is the big snake? Anaconda. Yeah, there are no anacondas in South Africa. What is the other one in the form? No, the cook is not a big snake. Python. Thank you. The people think it's a python, and all the number is really actually just a small snake. Probably dead. We just need to know where the tail is or where the head is. Investment in Saldana will continue. I'll ask Nombu's so to give maybe a bit of a breakdown in terms of what other investments are going to do. One important thing about Saldana is also an operation in Pakistan, which is the oil and gas, which is new investments that are going to take place, about 9 billion rand worth of investment are going to take place. We are taking back 2004 or 2005 and dedicating it to oil and gas and looking at the repair of oil rigs. But also we are changing the current TIPLA and bringing in a new TIPLA. I think a TIPLA costs up to about 1.2 billion rand if you do that. All of the other equipment that come with it, the loading and unloading, the TIPLA itself, the civil works that go with it. And in London and Richard Bay, we've paid some particular attention to those areas, and we're dealing with the root causes. In London, unfortunately, I think there's a lot of new things that we need to do in order for us to revitalize that the fighting port, our only river port. This London tends to, like, the second cousin, when you have a second cousin. So you stay at home and the second cousin comes to visit. And there's always this fellow who gets sent in at night, can you go and ask for salt from our neighbor? Because we are brave, they tell you. When in fact you are not the most favored. So his landlord gets all the equipment from Derem and PE and other places. They never get anything new because everybody know you are small. So it's one of those things that might be there sometime, but we need to be there. In terms of the pipeline and our villages and risk mitigation, if it happens, we had one in Hillcrest in the past year, but it's not something that happens all the time. I think we are very careful in terms of trying to deal with the issues, and it's not likely to happen on the new MPP. Most of it is in the DAP, which is the old pipeline. We want to decommission that pipeline within the next year or so. So we are doing studies in terms of what we need to do. We welcome the DOT restrictions to these pilots in terms of the energies that can be built on the road. However, I think the problem that we always have is policing and ensuring that the rules are made. I think somebody needs to go to the DOT and ask them, how many people have been penalized and how many people receive tickets for overloading? You'll find there is very few. The inspectorate at the road traffic, whatever agency they have, I don't think it has teeth. Because if it had teeth, it would assist us in our road to rail strategy. We would be able to accelerate that. But I think people, they will overload and they get stopped, and I don't know what happens after that. And so the incorporate, I think, is the doesn't have teeth. And then the development in the region, we are aware of the investment in Walvis Bay and other places. Our view as Sunrise is that the competition is already there. If we can go into those countries and also be part of that and invest with them, and then we don't lose completely when certain things happen, but we can also gain from it. That is the view that we have. And so, originally, we have a strategy in terms of participating much more with the other countries. And I can't argue or lie that 8% is lower than 12%. Our view is grow the business at between 10 and 12% every year in terms of revenue. And I think what is hidden in the numbers, although we tell you that our auto rate is very has grown, we didn't tell you about the decrease. Like our steel and cement business, it did not grow. It went the other way. So when you look at some of the higher numbers, you get an average. Because I think China is a very good barometer in terms of what is going to happen in the economy. So we finish much before the statistician general tells you what is happening, what has happened. We tell you what is happening. We can give you a blow to blow for what is going on in the economy. So it is those kinds of issues. Yes, if we were to do target versus actual, which we do with the rating agencies, and that's why we're not AAA rated. They look at what was your target and what is it actually that you do. But in terms of reporting, we are only required to report against the previous year. Am I right on that? So there is that. And then in terms of local economic development, in terms of SOEs, we are looking at the brand lines as a way of revitalization of small towns, agricultural towns, and we are asking that we have public-private partnerships with the private sector so that they can run that, because it's quite important in terms of what we need to do to stimulate economic growth. So we do not create more jobs because some of our businesses went the other way. And others went other way, so we give you an average. We would like to invite the National Council of Provinces to visit us again, because the prototype of the new locomotive is now ready. Almost, let me say. It's only done in a carburetor. But it's now almost ready. We would like to invite you to come and have a look at it. It's going to be the first African-made locomotive made by Africans for Africans. And I think we're very proud of it. It's been 5 years in the making, but we are now ready to give you a robust locomotive that can be used in our mines, can be used in other countries in Africa. It can take the heat, so to speak. So Prasa could not come to us at the time of buying their locomotives because we couldn't make any. But over the past 3-4 years, we've made good progress in terms of our family and teaming up with the Chinese, American, and Canadian locomotive manufacturers to make our own. And I think we're making good progress there. In fact, we're now working similar to the motor industry. We're creating new industries and locomotives for local suppliers to give us pantographs, to give us traction motors that are made in South Africa. And then there's fewer and fewer parts that are coming from overseas countries. In fact, we have an R&D center at the CSIR in Pretoria. I'm impressed by what we've been able to do. We'd also like to invite you to come and have a look at the progress that we are making in terms of locally made things that we are doing. The acting chairman answers his own questions. When it comes to carbon emissions, subscribe to the United Nations Sustainability Statement. And I think we're making very good progress. And we'll continue to work with anybody and anyone who wants to work with us so that we can reduce carbon emissions. But I'm happy that we're here and you come from the provinces, and I think none of you like to see many trucks on the roads. you can have in terms of legislation, not just on the inspectorate and the policy, but in terms of what kind of commodities should be on trucks. Because we now have the locomotives. You see, in the past we couldn't ask to help us because we didn't have the locomotives. Now we have the locomotives. In terms of legislation, you can even say which commodities should not be on trucks. So we can take them with our trains. We now have enough trains, we've invested. Help if you can. In terms of the commodity prices on the market demand strategy and the other questions, I'm going to leave to my colleague to answer the questions. Yes, we would have had more women with us, and one lady fell sick, unfortunately. And otherwise, we would have had 50-50. Dean shouldn't be here, but he's here. The issue of the game share and the PFNA in Buyi is not answered. Those issues. But I must say that the game share issue was a once off issue, which is no longer happening. Some of our internal auditors, when they were doing particular issues, they did not take into account certain things. As a result, we had that issue. But that issue is no longer happening as a speak, and it's unlikely to occur. And then on the PFNA issues, on this side, we'll talk about whether all of those have been completed. The commodity prices are a problem because people have bought less when the price is not good. And some companies have, in fact, have lost them. But that is next year's story.
Thank you, Chair. I'll start with the PFNA, where it's highlighted green. It means it's on track. Most of them. Most of the initiatives are on track, way above the 80%, so we know that it is current year, going forward, the 2017 effect closure on them. However, where there's research in terms of systems that we need to implement new systems and That depends on the availability, of course. and some of it would be deferred, maybe 1 year, 2 years until our cost containment initiatives are lifted.
Chair.
Thank you, Chair, and members of the council. Fortunately, I have two of my board members present here with me out on this one. And in relation to the point of the permanent chief executive, we've made significant progress on that score. If you may recall, we had two important positions to fill at the board level. That was the group of financial officer as well as the group chief executive. We are proud to say that we've confirmed the first appointment of the group financial officer. We are on the verge of finalizing the appointment of the group chief executive there. And that process will be in fact completed sooner or later. And I can assure you that the board is cognizant of the fact that it is highly important to fill in that position as soon as possible. So let's ensure that the process is in good hands and it will be completed soon. Thanks.
I will also just ask the chair of the audit committee to talk a little bit about the credit rating. And I think that I did indicate that on a standalone basis it would look good, but we're part.
Thank you, Chief Chair. As you mentioned, there's been a lot of hype around the credit ratings in the market. And I think what we ought to be looking at is what our funders are looking at us. I think about in 2015, Mr. Gama mentioned we revalued our asset up by 50 million. This is strength in our balance sheet. And in 2015, balance sheet, we took a conservative approach as to our assets. We believe our assets are actually worth a lot more. Our funders believe our assets are a lot more. And this is pure evidence in the current year. We raised extensive capital in the current year to fund the MBS projects. So regardless of what's happening out in the market, Standard & Poor and Moody's and the ratings, we are getting the funders to fund our MBA projects. So we have strengthened our balance sheet, and our funders have strengthened our balance sheet. And just a couple of other comments around obviously supply and development in terms of the spend. I think our secretarial department can give you the spend by department, by region, by area. Also, I think we can give you training spend by region, by area, which I think is quite important for you people to see exactly what we're doing in the various different regions. And, you know, even on some of your visits, Mr. Gunnar mentioned on your visit to possibly Pretoria and what we spend in training, even in Durban, where we have a transfer engineering department, we're spending in excess of 12 million rand on black female students. This we don't see, and you know, bloody females, we actually see it. A couple of issues on the PMA. We mentioned that there was a single item of 450 million. We also mentioned the issue of the gain share. But I would just like to mention in terms of what the current performance or use of wasteful expenditure has reduced drastically from prior years.
In fact, we do have the statistics on the spend per province per business unit of Transnet. Most of the spend is in Gauteng. Which is followed by KZN. That is because our biggest ports, Richards Bay, Devon, and are in KZN. And then followed by the Eastern Cape. I think where we need to make progress is the Northwest. We need to make some good progress. Also in Mpumalanga, although we do quite a bit because of the mines there, and maybe also the Northern Cape, we need to do a little bit more. We have, in fact, set up some enterprise hubs with DR as an example. And also in the Western Cape town of Valdana, we are making some good progress. But yes, we could do a little bit more in some of the inland provinces. Limpopo is number 4 in terms of our spend, so it's not very bad, but I think Northwest we need to do a little bit more.
Thank you. I need to ask you one thing. I want to ask you a question for this person is asking me, which keep on writing letters and asking me about a line. When are you going to grab the net? Is a poor old man even asking and writing it to me? Do you have any plans? What can I say to that man just to get him off my door? Thank you.
Sure,
before you answer, can I keep
thank you, Chairperson. Thank you for the answers received.
Although I still got questions around the infrastructure, as you said, PRASA is responsible for passenger, which we know, but you can only transport them when there's infrastructure. So there are certain areas where there's a need for passengers. So whose responsibility becomes that to set the infrastructure there? Because state-owned enterprises are there to strategically, place infrastructure and whatever is needed so that it benefits the country as a whole and its citizens. So it's all good making profit and all of that, but we need to attend to certain strategic points to help grow the economy even more so that the ratings and all of that can be solved in the process. So in terms of the infrastructure forum, then on the commodities, yes, it's a good idea to start to have restrictions on commodities to move, but then the infrastructure again must be there, because for the trucks in Mogalakwena from the mine to go to the station in Mokopane, which is 30 kilometers out, just to transport it to Polokwane and then have transport it again for 30 kilometers to the meltery is not solving the problem, because the distance from there to the meltery is about 90 k's. So, then it's only 30 days that you're actually saving in the process. So that's why I'm asking the infrastructure in line with where the economy is going, where we know that mining is going to go big, where, for example, the agriculture, well, I didn't get an answer on that, because that's also going to have an impact. We want to take rail off off the roads, that trucks only take it on short distance and become, that it becomes an integrated transport system. And that is what I'm talking about specifically, and I didn't get a clear answer on that.
Thank you, Honourable Member. Over to the department. And I must just worry, my question, this saying is outward, but the request is from George, Motor Bay. There is more infrastructure. The old infrastructure. Two properties. From this side, two properties. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much. Yeah, the infrastructure for passengers responsibility is part. Our responsibility is state. So if there is a passenger line to build platforms to it, that is what the old commuter, the railway commuter company was responsible for. But they do use our lines. So our lines are this, we've got 30,000 kilometers of rail line in and around the country, and probably they need to use it, they use it. The typical railway kind of freight is long distance, typically 200 kilometers plus, then railway will become economic. The typical railway is density as well. We need to have lots of tonnage in order for the railway to work. If it's small passengers where only a few trucks might work, we leave it to the trucking. We don't get involved. But if it's dense, even if it's short distances, if we have to build a line between the mine and the station, we can build it. If there's 2, 3, 4 million tons, it needs to be rail. The rail economics need to make sense. When I talked about aviation and the food industry and the agri parks in the Bombo, I meant to answer all of
those questions, because the thought is this now. We're working with the Department of Transport and Roads and Import to look at a package of rail, road and aviation to deal with this perishable product. Sometimes we have to go to Zimbabwe, because Zimbabwe is the country to the north as well. So when we talk about the north-south corridor of Africa, Limpopo is that gateway to the north. So there's a lot of things that we're looking at in terms of having commodities. And as I said, it's a high yield per acre province, and so there are a lot of fruit and vegetables and those kinds of things output that come from there. So we're looking at it from an integrated perspective in terms of what is the best way to deal with it. We present our trains with the RIFA containers so that some of the products from the port where they go through this port here in Cape Town, some of it through Durban. So I think we are working very well together in terms of creating logistic solutions that would deal with issues. The train from George, we're working with the Western Cape government to resurrect what was called the Chuchu train and all of that. From George, there was a lot of rain a few years ago. But we need to work towards resurrecting a number of front lines. A lot of people come to us, and maybe the answer is simple. If someone can show us what product can be moved in that area, if that product can be measured in the millions of tons rather than thousands, the rail economics makes sense. So if you got 5, 6, 7, 8 million tons, we can build or resurrect or revitalize the old railway lines. If it's less than a million tons, the tracks must continue, because we will not invest in that. It's too small for us. We typically want to see something that is sustainable. Which is why I think in the past the marketing boards were quite useful, because they would bring communities and cooperatives and all of that together to assist. So maybe that's where the answer lies. Even in the Eastern Cape, we talk to some people around resurrecting certain things, but the economics don't make sense until certain things also happen. And then when it happens, we then bring the trains back.
I think I'm not sure if I did get the answer or the carbon emissions. And I think it is our responsibility to make sure that everyone is adhering to the
community. Yes, and I know she disturbed you when we're answering the question.
Oh, okay. Did you get it on the road?
Yes, we did say that we subscribe and we signed a global sustainability pledge to the United Nations. And in fact, among the SOCs, even among private sector entities, our sustainability statements, as you will see, we are far, far, far advanced as Transnet, and we pay a lot of attention to the reduction of carbon emissions, whether ranging from energy efficiencies, ranging from the locomotives that we've ordered, making sure that all of the minimum standards are met, so that that we can really make sure that we go green on quite a lot of these issues, and we are willing, in fact, to, in terms of COP21 and the one that's just been signed in France, that we are willing to work and assist with different departments within our government, to also share some of the strategies that we're doing. We've got about 7 programs on sustainability that we are currently looking at, and got some very bright young people who are working to assist us on all of the different things. It's not just about recycling and waste management and all of those things. We're looking at our villages, we're looking at how we transport dangerous goods, and what are the prerequisites in terms of dealing with all of those issues so that we can avoid spillages also on our pipeline. So it's a number of programs that we're looking at and are dealing with, and I'm happy with the progress that we're making.
Is there any outstanding questions or any questions that the members want to ask? Honorable Chairperson?
No, thank you very much, Honorable Chair. And thanks that there is a progress that even in Northwest as well. Okay. If you look at the N4 accident that I had because of these big trucks, and Northwest, of course, is also one of the next triangle. And this mushrooming of mineral resources to get your platinum and also. But the documentation is on the locomotives bought elsewhere. Do you buy them complete, or are you also perhaps assembling here in South Africa to at least to add value in terms of job creation as well? And then the last one is the union carrying woman in Eastern. Is he still working? Are you still using that as well? Thanks. Most of the questions are covered, and maybe particularly that one of the economic sabotage, to avoid the economic sabotage. But I'm not sure in terms of the financial sustainability, the borrowing outside, because some of these popular Bretton Woods institutions, they do sometimes attach some serious strengths in the borrowing, and then as to what extent can they also play a role in terms of the economic sabotage. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Member. Before giving over to you, Mr. Dharma, I just want to acknowledge the presence of our Honourable Chief Whip of the NCOP. Welcome, Chief Whip. And Mr. Dharma, who accompanied me. Welcome here. It's just a pity that you're coming so late. We dealt with a very important SOE, and they are doing very good on the receiver. But the presence that came out, I can assure you, they struggle to answer us because it's very quality question that came out of the members. They made it at least to give us.
Does it have anything to do with the one?
Yeah, you can ask further question if you have to use. I will give you that opportunity to ask. Thank you. You want to ask the question? Okay, not now. Thank you very much. Thank you. Over to you, Mr. Dharma.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. I'm afraid that we felt very engaged by at the NPO in terms of, and as you correctly point out, the quality of the questions was very, very high standard. It showed us that the honorable members had read a lot of our documents and also gave us direction in terms of what we need to do next year and also in order for us to improve on our reporting. We're very, very happy with that. And we get asked a lot of questions about PASA. We need to do more in terms of indicating that when it comes to passenger rail, it is really them that need to deal with that. Although we work very closely with PASA on a number of things. We use some of their rail network and they use a lot of our rail network. As a result, they still owe us a lot of money. In terms of locomotives, we do assemble them in Hudusport as well as in Durban, which is part of the invitation that I'm extending to the members to come and visit us in Pretoria so that you can see the good work that our people are doing in terms of assembling locomotives. The UCW in Nigel, I think it belongs to Marine Roberts and there's some other people. We did use them on some of our programs, there is nothing that we're doing with them at the moment. The Bretton Woods people, we don't talk to them at all. We don't hear them. We might have been for future infrastructure, deal with the BRICS Development Bank, which we believe probably understands much more in terms of what development finance would be required for us going forward. And at the moment we use a lot of the Export Credit Agency funding as well as our own TFI, TDSA, IDC, those types, PIC as well.
Any other input that squad member wants to say? Before closing down, can you another level of what people should start this?
Honorable Chair, I want to be very naughty.
Mm-hmm.
It's not every day that we have the presence of one of the state-owned companies here. We've dealt now with the annual report of 2014-15, which is quite a year ago, and I'd like to ask if the chair would allow me, if I can just ask very shortly, Transnet's priorities for this financial year, 3 or 4 points. It's very, to work backwards is not always that easy. And we don't have the time, we don't have the terms of time in the NCLP, NCLP committees, when we have the people here, sometimes we have to push the boundaries. Thank you.
Thank you, honorable members. Mr. Rama, are you prepared to refer in summary to I know that you were giving your presentations to the board, about the inclusion that played, but if you can, you are something.
No, thank you very much, honorable chair members. I think in the 21st and 22nd centuries, the most important thing is how we respond to our environment by being agile and being flexible. As standard, we have said critically that agility is important in terms of responding to the economic environment and doing that as quickly as possible. There are a number of things that are important. One in this current year is as the commodity cycle did what it did, we had to defer the capital the program in some areas like coal and iron ore, because the companies that deal with that sector, they were no longer continuing with some of their programs, so we could not continue. So we've deferred. So our capital investment program has come down over the 7-year period from 336 billion to 280 billion. So that's the first set of issues. Second set of issues, to then say, in that context, when your revenue is falling because some companies are in business rescue, how do you deal with that? So cost containment, as the CFO indicated, becomes an important aspect in terms of what we do. The third set of issues is about customers and how we respond to their needs, and coming up with a digital strategy that assists us in terms of track and trace technologies, so that we continue to remain relevant and to become better and offer a better value proposition for our customers. The fourth set of issues is what we call reshaping the core so that we are able to be much more agile. We live in a difficult and uncertain world. We live in a world where the Chinese who have fueled growth for a very long time are restructuring their own economy. The Chinese are now going to focus on services and technology. They're not going to focus on resources. What does that mean to transition? So it is those kinds of issues where we then say we need to reshape the core. There are some people who think that what is happening in the economy is a short-term thing. It is not. It is a very long-term thing. And we need to do what is necessary in order for us to respond to the issues. And I think it's time that we are doing that. Too. That is the long and short of it.
Thank you very much. I think that shows us why banks have been so successful, because they see they are on top of the business in the world, the kind of strategy that we need to be focused on, and always adjusting if you are still on track. Thank you very much. If there is no questions anymore, from my side, I'm going to allow the chairperson to say his last words in closing. And yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. Thank you, members of the committee. We really like to say to you, we appreciate the opportunity that you offered us to say to the South African, as you being the representative of all the South African population, to say to you, thank you for the opportunity, and we lived up to your expectations, and we'd like to say, please take the invite as offered by the acting group chief representative to come and have a look at our facilities and see the good work that the company is doing. And thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson. From our side, I once again want to thank you for the very, very good presentation. Like I was saying, all of us was very quiet. Normally, they will raise their hands to say, Honorable Chair, can you ask them to shorten the presentations? They were so many times. But I must say, this morning, as I alluded to, everyone was quiet because the presentation, the content, it was very good. And such a pleasure to see that SOEs can deliver. Thank you very much for your time, and I hope that you will have a safe journey back. And we are looking forward, we are going to put it on our next program. We've been visiting you previously, but we are going to come and see what the end product of your work was that you introduced us. Thank you very much. The meeting is adjourned. Thank you. Thank you.